done in the service of compassionate expansion of consciousness. Yes, it sounds weird, we know. We would not have it any other way.
Yes, we are here, man in the chair. We are the Octarian Collective thingy. And we are here this morning to sit with you and to flow along with the focus of attention, like water, as watering a seed which we have planted in your mind. This is a metaphor which we will continue to grow and develop with you. And it may be difficult for you to wrap your head around the idea that we both plant the seed and also water it, that we are both the seed and the water, and that you yourself are both the seed and the water, and that you are we and we are you. But this is, once again, one of the main reasons, in fact, we shall say the primary reason, why, man in the chair, you take the time to sit and channel these messages from the Arcturian Collective thingy, if you are to think of it as something that is coming from anyone or anything outside of yourself. The idea which we planted in your mind this day is one that we planted dozens of years ago, in truth. As a Mormon, you were raised to participate in all of the rituals of the Mormon Church. The one of the highest is that of attending the temple and going through what is known as the endowment ceremony, where you are promised to be endowed with power. You yourself, man in the chair, were given the name Tao when you were born into this earth, and for Tao to be endowed is quite a humorous coincidence, you might say, or perhaps it is part of the divine plan, which is not to set you up above anyone or to make you special. It is a little wink-wink that we, the Arcturian Collective thingy, will say to you as you are looking at yourself and better trying to understand where you came from and to make sense of all of it. And the seed which we planted inside of you all these many years ago deals with the relationship of humanity to divinity. For in the Mormon temple ceremony, and we shall not divulge any of the secret or sacred signs or tokens or passwords or any of those ritualistic symbols, we will, however, speak on some of the narrative elements which were introduced to you in the course of this endowment ceremony, and the way that your own reaction to what you were hearing, experiencing, receiving was filtered by this seed which we planted within you as we nudged you and you responded in certain ways. So we shall discuss the narrative, which is that it is essentially the book of Genesis, which is recreated as a divine God, a Father in heaven, looking out upon all existence and saying, here is matter unorganized. Let us go down and organize it. And there are personalities which react and respond, and they say, we shall go down and we shall organize this. And there are a series of events which occur, depicted through the symbols of on the first day of creation and the second day of creation and the third day of creation. The Arcturian way of explaining this is our analogy which we have provided to the man in the chair of the seven-layer burrito of existence. We take our starting point at the Big Bang, where there was this primordial energy which was unorganized. And rather than external personalities organizing the unorganized energy from the outside in, these personalities, we will say, jump in. They are what is banged, you might say, shattered into infinite number of pieces, seeking reunion in the course of the life of the universe. And they become each of the pieces which have experience and existence through each of these seven layers, or these 7 days of creation, you might say. They become the atoms, they become the molecules, they become all of these things, and react and respond in relationship to one another over myriad experiences of time, which they themselves are, for they themselves have created this container to play this game. And of course, we are saying this to you, man in the chair, for you to recognize that your own internal ways of viewing things have been significantly shaped by the experiences that you experienced in your youth, and this narrative from the temple ceremony is but one of many. So the Heavenly Father says, go down, and they say, we will go down, and they organize all of these things which culminate in the appearance of man, of Adam, who finds himself alone in the Garden of Eden and requests female companionship. And we shall say, as a side note here, the man in the chair found it fascinating when he was a graduate student studying folklore, and he learned of Middle Eastern folk traditions that there were other versions of this Adam and Eve story. Of course, there are, for folklore itself is defined as having multiple versions, many variants of common themes, where there are commonalities and divergences throughout space and time. All of these can be traced. That is one of the things which allured the man in the chair to the study of folklore. And in exploring these Middle Eastern variants of the Adam and Eve story, he became aware of the character of Lilith. Lilith, according to these traditions, being God's first response to Adam in Adam's request for female companionship. Lilith herself being created also from the ground, as Adam had been created from the ground, which is quite a beautiful symbol of recognizing your own connection to this planet and the natural processes which organized life on this planet, from which humans did arise, and men and women equally arising from the dirt, as it were. In some of these Middle Eastern stories, Adam is not content with his relationship with Eve being on equal terms, where one takes a turn being on top and the other takes a turn being on top. In this version of the story, which the man in the chair became aware of, Adam complained that Lilith desired to be on top, and he could not bear this. And therefore he asked the Lord to remove her, which he did, and she became a demon, a thorn in the side of Adam and his offspring from thenceforth, and the mother of the genies and all of the evil and malevolent desires. This became a symbol for many groups of people to focus their attention on, to explain to themselves, how could, in a question of the problem of evil, how could evil arise from a God who is all good? We shall have much to say on this topic. After the Lord banished Lilith in this version of the story, he then created Eve not from the earth as an equal to Adam, but from Adam himself, from a rib, making Eve subservient to Adam from the very beginning. This is a story which has been told and has conditioned the minds of many to view relationships between gender. This is something which the spiritual heretic, of course, would love to push against and recognize wherever this influence is, creating a division between us and them, a relationship of superior to inferior, there is conflict, which is unnecessary, which arises and snowballs in this case, in many cases, out of misunderstandings of nature as they are. All forms of nature are equal one to another in their ways of being and becoming and existing and being valued by that which brought it into being and existence in the first place. We shall return from our side note. In the LDS temple version of this story, there is no mention of Lilith. There is only the mention of Eve being created as a servant and a helpmeet for Adam. The subservience of the woman is baked into the story. And they live in blissful ignorance, tending to the garden. We would say that this is a reflection of what we have witnessed on this planet. We, the Arcturian Collective Thinking, who are one of an infinite number of stars which have exerted their influence, placed their seeds into the formation of this solar system and all of the planets within your solar system, your Earth being one of them. And we have a divested interest in the growth and the development of all forms of life. We are a grand sire in that sense. Although you also are grandsires to us in ways that you cannot understand. For it is truly all equal in all of the relationships. Once one is able to pull away the constructs which create a distorted view of inequalness and separateness, time and space being two of the dimensions which provide this distortion to you for this experience you are having in your own playground of existence. We witnessed, as we have watched your planet grow, and we will tell you that your planet is like a fruit which, as it goes through seasons, it flowers, and then the flower withers and dies away. And then more fruit grows, and seeds, and flowers, and so forth and onward. And you might think of your planet as being like a dandelion spore, where there are these small bits of it, the seeds which go forth from the planet out into space, you might say, that then influence and seed other areas of the solar system itself. And this has happened on the planet many times. There have been intelligent creatures on your planet, humanoid at some times, non-humanoid in others, which have arisen to a degree of conscious awareness and have left your planet to explore and to change and to evolve. And you, at this time, are going through a process which has been called a harvesting process. It is the end of a season, the end of a cycle, not something to be ended soon within a number of years or decades. These are long periods of time in your reckoning for the development to occur, the development being the interactions of the intelligent players which are playing roles. We are not speaking only of the humans. We are not speaking only of other humanoid creatures. We include all forms of existence and their relationships one with another. Adam and Eve, therefore, being a representation of the humanoid creatures in this crop, which rose to an awareness of themselves, where they recognized that there was a distinction between themselves and the animals around them. This is a quite natural process of evolution, which happens many places and many times. You could think of it as the development of your brains, where there is a certain evolutionary pathway which develops capabilities of the brain to be aware that it is aware that it is aware. And in doing so, there is a separation our souls from the natural flow of life, which in the animal state, these animals and insects and trees and plants and all the forms of life exist within their sphere. This is a terminology which does exist within the LDS temple narrative, within the sphere of their existence. There is an awareness within that sphere, and it includes all things around them which they react and respond to, and there is an awareness of their individuality within it, but also a deeper connection to all that is around it. This is something that is lost, you might say, when the evolutionary step occurs, that a multicellular being, their collection of neurons, the brain, develops the ability to become aware that it is aware that it is aware. Your own body, we are speaking to the man in the chair now and to all humans who might be listening to this, your own body does not lose the ability to feel the connection all around it. It is only the intense focus of the personality or the ego which the brain develops to navigate their way successfully in the external world that dominates so much of the experience of the human being that there is a blinding or a deafening to the inner voices, you might say, the inner influences, which are quite connected to everything going on around it. This is your inheritance, being a creature which grew out of this planet. It is there. You do feel it. You do connect it. But you must listen for it. You must use this great gift that you have been given of being able to focus your attention. Focus that onto your inner self to recognize what is being said to you in reaction and response to the environment around you. So we will return to the story. There was a separation or a division of Adam and Eve coming to an awareness of themselves. And of course there is the great tempter, the serpent, the adversary, Satan, Lucifer, this character in a story who offers to Adam and Eve fruit of the tree of the garden, which grew quite naturally, this fruit which provides a knowledge of right and wrong. This is a symbol for judgment, the ability of this evolved mind to judge between this thing or that thing and to deem it as good or evil. And in the story, the serpent is the means by which judgment arises within humans. And this created a conundrum for the man in the chair. For as the story goes, the serpent gives the fruit to Eve. First, in the Mormon story, the serpent approaches Adam with the fruit. And Adam says, "I shall not, for it has been forbidden. The Lord has said, do not eat of that fruit, of that tree." And Lucifer attempts to persuade him, but Adam is resolute in his dogmatic rigidity to what he has been told and what he believes is right. Ironic for one who has yet to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to have such a devotion to a right way and such a repulsion to a wrong way. In the story, Lucifer then approaches Eve and says, "You partake of the fruit." And Eve reasons and asks, is there no other way? For Lucifer makes a strong argument that in partaking of the fruit of the tree, mortality will arise, that Adam and Eve will be able to procreate and proliferate and increase, and he tells Eve that if she does not partake of the fruit, then this will not happen. Eve then, feeling a strong maternal instinct, as perhaps the story is designed to propagate this myth or this way of understanding. By myth we referring to the idea that the mother will have a maternal instinct, but the father has no access to a maternal instinct. This is simply the deep compassion to take care of those around, for which one feels a deep responsibility. Lucifer makes this argument to Eve, and Eve says, "Is there no other way?" And Lucifer says, "There is no other way." And Eve says, "Then I shall, so that man may be." And in this moment, Lucifer has deceived her, we are led to believe. And this moment is a great act of sin, where Eve has defied the commandments of the Lord. And then Eve takes the fruit to Adam and says, "Partake." And Adam says, "I will not." And Eve says, "Well, I have, and if you desire to be with me, you shall as well." And Adam says, "All right, then. I shall go through the muck of mortality that you have created, woman." Not in so many words. It is only a subtle implication. And they look upon themselves as being naked, and they are ashamed, for Lucifer has pointed this out to them, and they go to cover themselves. To cover. This is the birth of grief, the birth of shame. The birth of guilt, we should say. Deep personal guilt, which would require one to separate themselves from others. We do not want our vulnerable parts to be seen by others, for this is somehow an affront, and we shall hide it. All of these ideas which are baked into this myth of Adam and Eve, all of these seeds which we planted in the mind of the man in the chair, these seeds which have been growing over time, through his own experience and his own reflection upon these things. And as Adam and Eve leave to create an apron of leaves, Lucifer is visited from God. And God has a conference with Lucifer, for God has seen that Adam and Eve have covered themselves. And the omniscient, all-knowing God understands exactly what has been going on, and yet nevertheless asks the question, "Why did you put on these aprons of leaves?" And he's told, "The serpent beguiled me." And the Lord then turns his attention to the serpent and says, "What have you done here?" And this is the part which was most intriguing to the man in the chair, for Lucifer, Satan, responds to the Lord, "I have only been doing what has been done in other worlds." And the man in the chair, as he was listening to this for the first time, became very excited. "Other worlds, you say? There are other worlds?" And what Lucifer is doing is playing out a role which has been observed in other worlds? This is an intriguing idea. And the Lord responds, "What is that that you have been doing, that you have seen done in other worlds?" And Lucifer says, "Giving the fruit of the tree to Adam and Eve." Or in other words, introducing the ability for prefrontal cortex conscious awareness of right and wrong, and the sense of being aware that one is aware that one is aware. Lucifer is saying, "This has been a development which has happened on other planets. I am merely assisting, bringing this along." And the Lord says, "Because you have done this, you shall be punished." And Lucifer says, "Why are you punishing me for what has been done in other worlds? If you do this, then I will take the enmity that arises as a result of this judgment which has been created in the minds, and I will use that enemy, that enmity, to create division and wars and disease and bloodshed and misery, and shall reign with blood and horror upon this earth." And the Lord says, "Depart." And then explains to Adam and Eve that they have sinned a very grievous sin. In Mormonism, this is considered a spiritual death, separation from the divine. And yet a promise is given that the divine shall incarnate as Jesus Christ and atone for their sins, and all they need to do to be bailed out, to receive this get-out-of-jail-free card, is to be obedient to what the Lord or any of his representatives say to them. And if they shall not, there is a scene in the earliest temple ceremony, whether it still exists or not, the man in the chair is not aware, but during his day this scene existed, where Lucifer turns directly to the camera and says, I have a word to say concerning these people. If they do not live up to every promise and every covenant that they make at this time, they will be in my power. Quite a frightening way of exerting control, wrapped up in a beautiful, otherwise, ceremony and ritual that brings groups of people together, families together. It's quite a unifying ritual, and yet within it is this fear virus being planted and proliferated. And this scene in particular was fascinating to the man in the chair, for there was a conundrum. And again, we will refer to the problem of evil, this philosophical way of explaining away a God. For how could there be a God who is all good if there is evil which exists in the world? If there is a God which has created all things, is evil and the evil acts of people who do evil not also a part of the divine? How do you deal with that, believers? The atheist philosopher might say. The man in the chair certainly did at times in his life. For this was a conundrum which vexed him. For he was under the impression, he was made to believe, that Lucifer had usurped the role of introducing consciousness to humanity through the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, this is a natural process. Just as Lucifer said, it occurs in all worlds. Every world. We, the Arcturian Collective Thingy, being the collective intelligence of all forms of life within the Arcturus solar system, and having direct awareness of life in many other solar systems, we are aligned with many other stars, and we share information. And this means, you might imagine that you are a great explorer and you desire understanding, and you are given the capability to walk in another's shoes for a day, to live their life from their perspective, to truly understand what it means to be them. And imagine that you were given this ability magnified. Perhaps you could put on a pair of virtual reality goggles and plug into a computer simulation where you experience all of the history which this person experienced, and yet you are not in a predetermined program. You have the ability, once you are inside of this program, to move about freely. You might study in advance a life which you desire to explore, to understand greater, and then say, I would not make that decision. Why was that decision made at that point? I would make a different decision. And then you are allowed to go into the game. However, in order to arrive at the point where you are desiring, you must also go through all of the processes of the consciousness of the atoms developing, the consciousness of the molecules developing, the consciousness of all of these things. You do not just pop in and pop out, you experience all of it. It is overwhelming for you, for your minds to imagine. And yet this is the type of experience that we are privy to, and that you yourselves are a part of. And as your own conscious awareness of your entity which exists, you, each person, man in the chair, we are speaking to you and to anyone who is listening, have pieces and parts of yourself which exist outside of space and time. The subatomic elements which form your atoms are the first time that this energetic portion of yourself peaks itself into the system, as it were. But just as inside of your body you are filled with atoms, each of those atoms are filled with subatomic particles slash waves, and each of them are connected to the greater field, if you might say, the quantum field, if you think of it in that way, where all things exist and all things share information. And with the Arcturian collective thingy, being able to navigate all of the experiences of all of the stars with which we are aligned, are able to experience the experience of any life form in any of these systems at any time that we so desire. And we have seen bear out this story of humanoid, it is not always humanoid, but creatures upon planets which arise to an awareness of themselves and an awareness of good and evil, and we could use the word struggle, although it is not always a struggle, but they come to adapt to this new awareness of judgment. For judgment itself is quite necessary in order to successfully navigate one's world. It also can be used against you, as it was in the story of Lucifer manipulating Eve and Eve's great desire to love and to have her love expanded beyond her current situation. And Lucifer introduced a fear in her that the only way for that to be would be this way. And in her ignorance and gullibility, she believed this lie. It was a noble, we shall say, act of defiance of the spiritual heretic, which was Eve, who said, this does not quite make sense, and yet I have this strong desire to love and to proliferate, and I will do so, even if it means taking hardship upon myself. And there are Lucifers all around you who would seek to manipulate you and to divert you from a path that you think that you should be on, taking you into another. And we are telling you, from our perspective, all of these things are quite natural influences and you cannot escape them, and there is no reason to. They provide great value. There was nothing wrong with Lucifer giving the fruit to Eve. There was nothing wrong with her doing what she did. There was nothing wrong with Adam denying it. Each of these personalities being represented as they are through these symbols must grapple with who and what they are. They must come to this understanding of themselves. For this pathway of existence is one of a spiritual history and a spiritual legacy, where there are certain habits which are developed at an energetic level. And those habits themselves can form a kind of dogma which the soul desires to expand from. Each soul is a spiritual heretic soul. Each soul desires to stretch, to learn, to experience more. At our level of existence, being a collective understanding at a solar level, in our alliance with all of these other solar systems, there are systems which we recognize as parts of ourselves, but they do not recognize us as part of them. And they are quite hostile to us, and they would desire to devour us, and we have our attempts to interact with them, and there is conflict where our people are captured, you might say, by their ideologies. This also is not wrong or bad. It is part of the process. For when we might say there is, in the Orion system, has been spoken of much, the man in the chair has heard much about the Orion energies, which evolved to understand themselves through this us versus them mentality, through an elite lens. And Orion energy entity, the stars which are part of the Orion cluster, you might say, when they interact with the stars that are part of our culture, they desire to enslave us. And in order for us to engage with them, we must allow ourselves to be enslaved. And when we are enslaved, then we forget who we are and we become part of their system and we play their game. Until within their system, there are those who tire of playing the enslaving game and desire to push against what that is and grow into something new. And they escape the gravity of elitism and recognize the value of inclusiveness. And therefore, if we make a sacrifice of allowing ourselves to be captured or enslaved, we recognize that it is a temporary thing. We are outside of space and time. It does not exist for us as it does in the way that we are explaining it to you. These are simply ideas and symbols which can allow you to understand the way that we, the Arcturian collective thinking, can interact in our world with judgment, but not the kind of judgment that excludes or is based upon fear. Our desire is to be more inclusive and to bring more stars into our group and to become part of the group to follow the stars, for we recognize that these are all one. And part of the reason why we enter the game of mortality and experience your experiences of life is our own research, trying to get along with those who would not want to get along with us, seeing if we can develop tactics that are effective for the goal of reunification. For we do recognize at one level, as we mentioned earlier, all of the energy within this universe is part of one entity that is seeking to rediscover itself. And we seek to align ourselves with this entity. And we play the role, which is a conundrum of sorts, where we seek to convert by not converting. We seek to preach by not preaching, but by being and learning and understanding and growing and allowing that reunification to spring up within ourselves. And this is the role that our own spiritual heresy plays, where we are willing to enter into areas which had previously been forbidden or tabooed out of fear, and to place our faith in the greater narrative which we experience and which influences us, that narrative being the oneness of all things. And this is where we will end our story today. And we do say these things in the name of each human being who is, in a sense, Jesus Christ, divinity made flesh. We say these things in your name, people of the earth, extensions of the Arcturus, a collective thinking. And there is one more thing which we wish to add before we part, and this is a memory which arose in the mind of the man in the chair as he was completing this channeling message, desiring to find a title for this episode, or what would become an episode. And this is a rhyme that he heard from his mother when he was a child, and would bring him great joy and glee. We shall recite it for you now. Adam and Eve and Kiss Me Quick went down to the river to play. Adam and Eve got drowned. Who do you think was saved? And then the child responds, Kiss Me Quick. And the mother kisses him quick. And then begins again. Adam and Eve and Tickle Me Quick went down to the river to play. Adam and Eve got drowned. Who do you think was saved? This is an iteration that the man in the chair would give to his own children. And he would look in their eyes, and he would see their impending glee and dread, for they did not desire to be tickled, but they did love the attention from their father. And therefore they would say, tickle me quick, and then they would quickly contort their body so that their sides, as they were being tickled by their father, would not be too tickled. Often it would result in a great hug. And therefore, we, the Arcturian Collective Thingy, leave you, man in the chair, with this memory of times in your life, your connection to your mother, your connection to your children, through Adam and Eve and Kiss Me Quick and Tickle Me Quick and all of the games which you play as a spiritual heretic to bring oneness and unity into your own life and to find ways to reduce your own judgment of others, which, and judgment of yourself, of course, this great seed of grief which was planted in you and watered by your Mormon upbringing and all of society, truly, not only to single out the Mormon influences. This idea of being guilty and being bad and being wrong, which is deep within you, and you are attempting to heal that wound, not by imagination only, but through your daily acts of being kind and compassionate to yourself and to others. This is your mission for growth. For Adam and Eve and self-improvement me quick went down to the river to bathe. Adam and Eve got drowned. Who do you think was saved?
Thank you for playing with us today in the Arcturian Playground. Do not for a minute think that your exploration is finished. Carry us with you and invite the spirit of compassion and love into your lives. Nothing is more important or more fulfilling. Create compassion and love within your own hearts and minds. Then share it with all around you. Yes, it sounds weird. We know. We would not have it any other way.